ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 सीन पंचदशी come up to ninth verse. So we will continue with that from that ninth verse. So until these 10 verses, the Atma Swarupam, the nature of the self being Chit, and that Chit, the consciousness, being the only eternal reality, therefore it is Sat, and that Chit, which is the existence, the consciousness, which is the existence, is of the nature of limitlessness or happiness. It also has been unfolded till now. And to make it very clear how self is of the nature of happiness. Self, the truth of the I, the truth of the whole, Brahman, the reality, obtaining as the truth of the I, is of the nature of happiness, fullness, limitlessness. In fact, being limitless is being happy. You have to remember this. For being limitless is being happy. And being limited is being bound. And being bound is being unhappy. So being limitless is equal to being free, and being free is being happy. Therefore, we can say limitlessness, freedom, and happiness are synonyms. Similarly, being limited is being bound, and being bound is being unhappy. Therefore, we can say that bondage is what? Actually, unhappiness. Therefore, here, that happiness also, the freedom, the happiness, limitlessness also is what? Is the very swarupam of the Atma, swarupam of the self, the truth of I. In fact, everyone can say, I the self am happiness, fullness. I the self am the truth which is of the nature of fullness. One can say that. And how to understand how he in this Panchadashi first chapter, how Vidyaranyasami presents, how to understand that self is of the nature of fullness, happiness. Because he says the happiness, always any object, the love for any object is possible only. And the object is an object of pleasure. We never have liking for the objects which do not make us happy or which do not please us. We always love the objects which are objects of pleasure, which make us feel pleased. So the love is always for objects which make us feel happy, which pleases. We never love the objects which displeases. Objects in terms of the people, even the pets, we all love them. Our love for pets, animals, is also because they please us. Without reacting to us, all the time wagging the tails, they're haunting us. That's why we all love pets. If they react to our behavior, do you think we love our pets? No. So we love things which please us, which means we love ourselves. From this logic, we had to understand what? We love ourselves the most. And who do we love the most, if we ask? We may say, I love my children, I love my husband, I love my people, I love that person, this person. Really speaking, the one who is most loved, everyone loves one's own self. The most loved by one's own self, oneself is one's own self. Therefore, the love for one's own self is the greatest love, because there's nothing else is loved more than one's own self. This is a fact, whether we like it or not. Everyone loves one's own self. It is a lousy fact. So how do we say that you love yourself the most? If we ask the question, how do you say that? How do we understand that everyone loves one's own self the most? Because Shankara says, the Vidyarani Swami says, there's always desire for longest self, longest life. The desire for longest life of one's own self, you know, I want to live forever. I want to live forever means what? I love myself the most. Therefore, the love for longest life is the proof that one loves one's own self the most. Therefore, one happens to be the most loved, one's own self also must be of the nature of happiness. Therefore, what is Swarupam? Yourself, your one's own self is of the nature of happiness, fullness. Therefore, one's real self, the truth of I, definitely nothing but pure consciousness, chit. And that chit is what? Oh, chit is of the nature of existence. How do you understand? Because it is always there unchangingly. And that unchanging, everlasting, trikala, abhaditam, satyam, the consciousness, which is the existence, is actually of the nature of fullness, happiness. It also he established briefly until this verse 10. Ittam, okay, let's see the 10th verse now. And one thing, therefore, and in the context he said, love for anything in the world, anybody in the world is also actually love for one's own self. This is a very famous statement from the Upanishad. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. That sentence alone, Udayanahama has taken here to present it here. Therefore, there's no real love for anything in the world. If at all we love anything, that's only, but that anything which invokes the pleased self in me alone is actually loved by me. Therefore, love is actually for one's own self. And there is no such thing called non-demanding, non-binding love. If at all I love somebody, that love is, you know, there's always, it depends on some, there's a demand is there. Therefore, non-demanding, non-binding love is not there. Unconditional love is not there at all. Love is always based on what? Some condition. I love you because of these things. And when these things you don't change, then my love for you becomes a questionable thing, isn't it? There's no such thing called unconditional love. Unconditional love is always only for one's own self. Therefore, any conditional love is really fake love. There's no real love. Therefore, suppose in this context the question comes, then can we say this, the wise people, the men of wisdom, their love is a universal love? We say the wise people love the entire universe, love all the beings. No? Then how do we say that? Then is it true that they love the whole world? Is it true that their love is for all the people, all the beings? We say the love is for one's own self means, how can we say the wise people have the love everybody universally? Which means, for a wise person, the self is not, no self for him is the consciousness. Therefore, the self is of the nature of fullness. And second thing for them, all the beings are also the self. Absolutely, all the beings are also, for the wise person, the one for whom one's own self is consciousness, for him, everything else also is the conscious. Everything else is also the truth here. What is, there is only the self for him. Atma eva asti. For a wise person, it is possible for a wise person to have the universal love, in the sense he can love all the beings equally means, why? Because for him, everything else also is only the self. There's nothing other than the self, nothing which is not the self. That thing, which is not the self. Therefore, it's easy for a wise person to have unconditional love for the whole world.
Yeah.
It is read from the 8th verse, so that we will continue to be seen.
Okay, yeah.
Yamatma paranandaha. Yamatma paranandaha. Paraprema-spadam yataha. Paraprema-spadam yataha. Actually, it must be Ayamatma, not Yamatma.
Ayam. And there's an A there.
Yeah.
But there's an I here.
Because Atma is a masculine word. So it must be I am only.
So in this one also there is I.
I am Atma Paranandaha.
So I put A there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll do talk first. I'll do talk first. I am Atma Paranandaha.
I am
Atma Paranandaha. Paraprema-spadam yataha. Premaswadam yataha. Mana bhuvam hi bhuyasam. Bhuyasam. Iti premaatmanikshyate. Iti premaatmanikshyate.
Mana, isn't it?
Mana bhu.
Mana abhu.
Yeah.
Mana abhu.
Yeah. So here, I am Atma Paranandaha. So he says, this self, Atma, you have to remember this word. I'm repeating from here, so we will continue. Atma, Atma, always, when you use the word self in English language, is it an equivalent word if you say, the word self is a reflexive pronoun. Like when you say, I is a first person singular pronoun. The self is a reflexive pronoun. And similarly, the word Atma, why this Atma, the self, is implied by the term Atma, that itself you know very well. The reality, the only reality, secondless reality, the non-dual reality, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. When you say all, it's of the nature of all pervasiveness. Sarvam apnoti iti atma. All pervasiveness is the very swarupam. Means it being pervasive is not an the reality need not make any effort to pervade everything. Like light, what effort does the light make to pervade everything? To pervade in and through all the opaque objects. Light need not make any effort to pervade in and through all the opaque objects. Because being pervasive, pervasiveness is the very swarupa. Similarly here, there is something very important to understand the pervasiveness. Like smoke also pervades, not that way. It is the prakashaha, the light, how without making any effort, effortlessly, without using the will, without making any effort, by its very nature, it pervades in and through all the opaque objects. In the same way here, consciousness, unarvu, you know, the consciousness also, what now in and through pervades everything means, the pervading, when you say pervades, it may sound like a verb. The pervasiveness, being pervasive is not an action, you know, it doesn't involve any effort, it's very swarupam. That's why the pervasiveness, all pervasiveness, being the very nature of the reality, the consciousness, we say all, and then thereby being all pervasive, it should obtain in every form. All pervasiveness happens to be the very swarupam of the reality, the consciousness. It must obtain in every form as what? As the innermost essence. As the innermost essence, which cannot be reduced to anything anymore. Any form can be finally reduced to the consciousness. You know, condensed. Any form, any grossest form also, can be finally reduced to the subtlest consciousness. But consciousness cannot be reduced to anything else. Therefore, we say what? Being all pervasive, the all pervasiveness happens to be the very nature of the reality, the consciousness. it obtains in every form, in every being, as the innermost essence. And that reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, thereby which obtains in every form, in every being, as the innermost essence, is known by the term Atma. Okay, and that Atma is what? No, the consciousness implied by the term Atma is the what? No, essence of I, the truth of I. Therefore, and that this is the truth of the self, that consciousness. He says, I am Atma. And therefore, why he says, I am Atma, this self, obtaining as the nearest truth. I am Atma, this self, this consciousness, this all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, obtaining as the nearest self, nearest truth, nearest self, is of the nature of absolute happiness, limitlessness, paranandaha. Why? Because, yataha, why do we say that? Because, paraprema-aspadam, because Atma is the most loved. Paraprema-aspadam, the greatest object of the love is one's own self. So we always love is for the objects which make me happy, and I love myself the most, therefore I must be of the nature of happiness. And how do we know that I love myself the most? Because if I hate myself, you know, if I, whomever we hate, we want to get rid of the person, we want the person to go away soon. But when you love ourselves, therefore here, we don't want ourselves to go away. We won't want ourselves to be here. Therefore, mana, ma na abhuvam hi bhuyasam. May I be here always. May I not become non-existent. This love for longevity of life. This love for the longevity of one's own life. Love for the longest life is the proof that one's own self is the most loved. Prema. Atmani prema ikshate. One's love for one's own self being there is proved by one's love for longest life. And then it's continue to the next verse. Tat prematmarthamanyatra. Prematmarthamanyatra. Naiva manyartham atmanaha. Atastat paramam tena. Atastat paramam tena. Paramanandat atmanaha. Paramanandat atmanaha. Tat prema atmartham. Tat prema anyatra atmartham. That prema, that love, anyatra, that love for anybody else in the world, anything else in the world, is actually for, love is for one's own sake. You never love anything else in the world, anybody else in the world, for the sake of others. You love anything else in the world for your own sake. Okay? Atmarthameva anyatra prema. Atmartham anyatra prema. My love placed in any other object, anybody else, any other being is actually for the sake of my own self. For love for one's own self is there as the love for anybody else also in the world. Na evam anyartham atmanaha. Definitely, the love is not for the sake of others. Love placed in other people, other beings, other objects is not for the sake of the other being, other people. It's love for sake of one's own self. Whether we like it or not, this is the fact. Okay, this should wake us up. And not your love also is not there for others. Others' love in you also is not for your sake. Okay, therefore it's a common thing. The ataha tat paramam. Therefore, what now? most loved is one's own self. Therefore, Atma, one's own self, is of the nature of happiness. Parama anandata atmanaha. Therefore, it is the proof here, it is made very clear, Atma is of the nature of happiness. Atma is of the nature of fullness. What is Atma? The I am, the truth of the I, the substance of the substantive. I is of the nature of happiness, fullness. Therefore, everyone, there's a clear vision. When you shift the essence from body, mind, and complex, you can definitely say very clearly in clear vision. It is not for talking about, but it must be the vision, very clear vision, what in which one can say, I, the self, am fullness. I, the self, am consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness, happiness. This must be the truth, but definitely it's purely cognitive expression. Of course, any expression is cognitive expression only, but still this is definitely its expression of the vision. Now, here ends the Atma Swarupam, Atma being consciousness. What is Atma? The all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being. Thereby obtaining as the truth of I. Okay? Therefore, the truth of the individual. That reality implied with the term Atma is nothing but consciousness. And that consciousness is the consciousness alone lends existence to the individual body, mind, complex, and also to the external world of objects. There's no such thing called existence at all other than consciousness. And this consciousness, which alone is lends existence, is of the nature of fullness. Satyam, okay, jnanam, chitta, sattu, anandaha. Okay, so satyam, jnanam, anantam. Now, let us see the 10th verse now. From here, it's a new lesson actually. Ittam sachit paranandaha. Ittam sachit paranandaha. Atma yuktya tatha vidham. Atma yuktya tatha vidham. Ittam sachit paranandaha.
Sachit
paranandaha. Atma yuktya tatha vidham.
Atma
yuktya tatha vidham. Param brahma tayoschaikyam. Srutyanteshupadishyate. Srutyanteshupadishyate. Itham. In this manner, Satchidanandaha Atma. Satchit Paranandaha Atma. Okay, the all-pervasive reality obtaining in every, alone obtain every individual as the innermost essence, as the truth of I, and that Atma reality is of the nature of existence, the consciousness, existence, and happiness, always limitlessness. This is a fact, and this fact we have arrived at how? Through reasoning, yuktya. Logically, this fact has been arrived at. Now, yuktya. Yuktya means what? Yuktihi means reasoning. So, logically, through reasoning, we have arrived at this fact. What is the fact? Atma is of the nature of, Atma is consciousness, existence, limitlessness, which are the nature of limitlessness. And this is a fact, and this has been arrived. What is it, Atma? That is I am. That is the very, that is what is the truth of I, the self. Now, it's in the same way, Param Brahma, Tayohocha Aikyam. Now, Param Brahma, again, not only the self is of the nature of Satchidanandaha, the self is what? This consciousness, the Atma is Brahma, the limitless reality. and the tayohocha aikyam. And the aikyam is what now? The identity between the absolute reality of the whole Brahman and Atma, the reality obtaining as the truth in the individual. The identity is also sutyanteshu upadishyate. Sutyanteshu means in all the Upanishad, it is taught. In all the Upanishads, Srutyanteshu means in all the Upanishads. Srutyantam means Vedantam. Vedantam means Upanishad. In all the Upanishads, Upadishyate, this is what is revealed. This is what is taught. What is taught? The Aikyam, identity between Brahman, the absolute reality of the whole, and the reality obtaining in every individual as this innermost essence, the Atma. Identity between Brahman and Atma is revealed in all the Upanishads. Thereby, what is the meaning here now? There is only reality. There's no second reality. The individual and the total are not absolutely, there's no individual or total absolutely. Only relatively there's an individual, there's relatively there is a total. There's no Jivatma or Paramatma absolutely. Relatively there's a Jivatma, there's a Paramatma. Why? Because essentially Jivatma and Paramatma are one and the same. What is implied by the term Atma and what is implied by the term Brahman, the two different terms are used and the two different names are what now? Definitions of the reality. Atma and Brahman are the words implying the very nature of reality. There were two different words imply the nature of the reality, which is one, secondless and non-dual. Therefore, they're not two. And this fact of the oneness of this Atma and Brahman is revealed in the Upanishads. With this, the 10th verse is over. Now we'll go to the next verse.
Abhanena param prema bhanena vishaye spruha bhanena vishaye spruha ato bhane pyabhataso ate ato bhane pyabhatoso par अतो भाने प्यभातासौ भाने प्यभातासौ परमानन्दतात्मनः परमानन्दतात्मनः अभानेन परं प्रेम अभानेन परं प्रेम भानेन विषये स्पृहा विषये स्पृहा अतो भाने प्यभातासौ प्यभातासौ परमानन्दतात्मनः.
See, now the question might come, okay, with the 10th verse it is very clear. The truth of the individual, the truth of the individual is identical with the truth of the whole world. Therefore, the truth is what? There is only the truth. And this reality, the truth, is nothing but consciousness, which is the existence of the individual as well as the total, and which is of the nature of happiness, fullness. If the swarupam of the Atma is happiness, Atma being eternal, happiness also is eternal. Isn't it? There are two things here. See, intrinsic nature and incidental nature. Nature itself means what? Swarupam itself means intrinsic only. We never say use incidental as a nature. But still, like incidental quality, attribute, or intrinsic swarupam, nature. what is intrinsic and what is incidental. Incidental is also there as a quality which comes and goes, but intrinsic is that which is there unchangingly. So unchanging, unchangeable swarupam, the nature is intrinsic. Like that here, happiness or fullness or all pervasiveness or existence or consciousness, we say what? Is the very intrinsic, which is the unchanging, unchangeable nature swarupam of the reality. That's why the reality itself, we arrive at only in terms of its swarupam. In what form does the reality obtain? If you say, the reality obtains the form of consciousness. Therefore, you use the term consciousness itself as the reality. See, the reality has no name, actually speaking. Only use the word truth, the reality. So you arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature. When you inquire, when you negate everything as objects, then finally arrive at what now? What is I is? The reality is arrived at in terms of its nature. So being conscious is the nature. Existence is the swarupam. Then limitlessness is the very swarupam. Fullness is the swarupam. Happiness is the swarupam nature. So that reality, when you say, is of the nature of happiness, means, so ananda swarupaha atma, ananda swarupam brahma. That means, it does not come and go. Whereas incidental means what? It comes and goes. The heat in the hot water is incidental quality. Water is hot, but is there something called permanent hot water? No. The heat comes and goes. So incidental. Whereas the heat in the fire is intrinsic, it is swarupam. So swarupam, for Agni, heat is swarupam. Isn't it? Like that here, being full, fullness, happiness, limitlessness is what? Actually, I never use the term bliss. Be careful here, okay? So happiness, fullness, limitlessness is the very swarupam when you say. Intrinsic means it is unchanging, unchangeable. It must be always there. And it is the existence means what? It's also timelessly there. Therefore, it should be there now. Then why there is unhappiness? If Atma is of the nature of happiness, what is there is only the Atma. There's no second thing. Means why there is something called unhappiness? Isn't it? That question comes. Now, that's what the answer is given here.
Abhanena param prema. Abhanena param prema.
Then still, why the mind is going after other objects? If you are happiness yourself, why should the mind go after objects of pleasure? Why the mind is craving for pleasures? The answer comes,
Abhanena param prema. Abhanena param prema.
See, Abhane, suppose if you do not know Atma at all, absolutely, totally, if you are totally ignorant of yourself, Abhane means if the self does not shine at all for you, which means the Atma, the self is not at all known to you, totally, is totally unknown to you, then love for the self is not possible. Paramam prema, that, you know, the greatest love for the self, absolute love for the self is not possible if the self is totally unknown to you. That is, this is what is said by the quarter of this verse. Abhane paramam prema na. The self is taught, now self is known to you or not, if we say, are you totally ignorant of yourself? If you say, you all cannot say what? I am totally ignorant of myself. I am totally ignorant of the truth. You are not totally ignorant of the truth because you are not totally ignorant of yourself. How do we say that? If Shastram says, if you are totally ignorant of yourself, if you do not know the self at all, then the love for the self is not possible. Now, the great love for the self is not possible. Why? You have to stop and understand, how can you have love for something, liking for something, even simple desire for something, passion for something is possible only if you have knowledge of the object, isn't it? Can you have liking, love, passion for something which you do not know at all? That even simple desire is always for something which is already known. An unknown thing can never become an object of your liking, object of your love, object of your passion, object of your desire. Swamiji will always ask this, Gagabugai, do you all love Gagabugai? How can you have, yes, I love Gagabugai? You should know what it is. Do you all love, you know, suppose we ask you, what is it? Custard. If you all ask custard, do you all like custard? Yes. Why? You must have the knowledge. Whether you all know or not, Ranaji definitely likes custard. Why? Custard is it can be easily cooked, and the easy one thing which he can cook very well, and it's very tasty, sweet. Love is always for something you know. A totally unknown thing can never become an object of your love. So what from this, what do you understand? You are not totally ignorant of yourself, which means you know yourself. Okay. Now the next question is, even there's some knowledge of yourself already, your own nature. Okay, if you know yourself totally also, if you know yourself totally also, which means if you know that you are of the nature of happiness, you are happiness yourself, your identity is totally with yourself as happiness, then going after craving for other objects of pleasures also is not possible, isn't it? Now, because you're craving for other objects of pleasures, then why do we crave other objects of pleasures? If you know yourself totally also, the craving for the pleasures is not possible. You will not go after objects of pleasures. And if you do not know you also, then you will not have love for yourself. So love for yourself also is there. And you still crave for other objects also, which means you know yourself little. You know you are, but you do not know what you are. This half knowledge of yourself that you are is the proof that you know you are. Therefore, it is natural for you to love yourself. But you do not know what you are. Your ignorance of yourself is the cause for what? Your craving for other objects. Is it clear now? What is very beautifully he says, Abhane na paramam prema. It is not possible for one to have love for oneself if one does not know oneself at all. Then bhane na vishaye spruha. If the self is known to you totally also, then you will be spruha, vishaye na spruha. The craving for the worldly objects will not be there. Isn't it? So what the first sentence is what? You do not know yourself. You are not totally ignorant of yourself. You do not know yourself totally. There's no total knowledge of the self. There's no total ignorance of the self. So therefore, what happens? Because there's no total ignorance of the self, the love for yourself is possible. Because you do not know yourself totally, the craving for other objects also is possible. Ataha, therefore, he says, Bhane api abhata. Bhane api abhata. Even though the self is known halfway, abhata aso, even though the self is known to you, because it is not known to you totally, what happens? Paraman atmanaha paramanandata abhata. Which means the nature of the self being happiness, fullness, remains what? covered is not known to you. The nature of the self, being happiness or fullness, remains unknown to you, remains covered. Atmanaha paramanandata abhata. Atmanaha paramanandata abhata means the nature of the self, being happiness, fullness, does not get revealed to you, is not revealed to you, does not shine for you, even though the self is known. Why? The self is known to you only little. It's not known to you totally. So what he, Upanishad, this year, this shlokam, what he wants to say is, the self is not totally unknown to oneself. Because if it is totally unknown, then desire for the self, love for the self is not possible. If the self is known to you, the self is not known to you totally also. It's either totally unknown, nor is it totally known. That is why there is a problem. The problem is because of not knowing the self totally is the problem. And if therefore you do not know the self nature being happiness. It's nice, isn't it? This is what Puja Swami says, you know you are, but you do not know what you are. You know the world is, but you do not know what the world is. You know Bhagavan is, but do not know who Bhagavan is. He put it differently like this. See, there's half ignorance in every at every level. The individual level, you can say what? I know I am, but I do not know what I am. I do not even know that I do not know what I am. And then because we're experiencing the world, therefore we say what? Can you say there's no world at all? Will you say that? No, there is world. You know there is Jagat. But do you know what is Jagat is essentially? That we do not know. We superficially see this world, experience the world. The elements, the elementals, living beings, non-living things, the movements, the emotions, the actions, experiences. There is a world. There is a world. The world is. But we do not know what the world is. Similarly, we talk about Bhagavan. Who the Bhagavan is? Because we assume, because I am here as the experiencer, there's a world in front of me as the object of experience. So there's an experiencer. I am here as an experiencer. And there's a world in front of me available for my experience, object of experience. The experiencer is here. Experienced world is here. But this experiencer and the experienced world must have its cause. It must have come from somewhere. So we do not know what the cause is. So we call that cause as what? God, Lord. Before we assume what now, we also say what? There is Ishvara. There is God. There is Bhagavan. Even the non-believer of God who should say what? There must be some cause from which it has, which must have come. So it means we all, there is a God, but we do not know who the God is, how the God is. There is a world, but we do not know what this world is. I know I am, but I don't know what I am. Therefore, there is half knowledge in every level. There's also half ignorance at every level. That's why if you know what you are, then the knowledge of the self becomes complete knowledge, total knowledge. This half knowledge you need not work for. As a human being, being blessed with this half knowledge, you are the most blessed human of all the creatures. Most blessed, and also what? Most confused also. If there's no there's no knowledge at all, no animal has a problem, isn't it? So the half knowledge is a blessing in disguise. It can become total knowledge. In discovering what I am, the knowledge of the self becomes total. Like what? Wave is, if you say, is half knowledge. The wave is water, if you say, it is total knowledge. Similarly, I am is half knowledge. I am Satchit Ananda Atma, it's a total knowledge. And we say Jagati is, the universe is, but this universe is what? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, if you say, or Satchit Ananda Atma, if you say, the knowledge of the world also is total. There is Bhagavan, Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwara? Bhagavan is another than the one who obtains the knowledge obtained from the universe. Ishwara is Swarupa is what? Achidanandam Atma. Ahatyam Yamanantam Brahma. So Ishwaraha, the Lord is also Brahman. The universe also is Brahman. I am Brahman. So what happens? Jiva, Jagat, Ishwara, Swarupa, Aikyam. Jiva, Jagat, Ishwara, Swarupa, Aikya, Jnanam will be there. How? You need not know Ishwara, you need not know the Jagat. If you know what you are, enough. In knowing I am Satchidananda Atma, you will, the other fact what? The Jagat is also nothing but Satchidananda Atma. Ishwara also is what? Satchidananda Atma. There is no God, there is no creation, there is no universe, there is no individual other than the truth. If you arrive at this fact, so arriving at that one fact is what? Is as well as arriving at all the other facts. But all of them together constitute only one fact only. Therefore, all the three have to be resolved. Only in resolving all the three, there is what? No, moksha. It's not enough if you simply know I am consciousness. You have to see there is no Jagat at the outside of consciousness. There's no Lord other than consciousness. This is the these two also have to be resolved. Only then there's a moksha. Therefore, he says, if there is the self is totally unknown, the love for the self is not possible. Now there is the great love for the self. Parama prema is there. The great love for the self is there, which we have understood logically. Therefore, we are not totally ignorant of the self. But we do not have the total knowledge of the self that's also there. If we know the self totally, then we would have understood the nature of the self being happiness. Then it would not be, we wouldn't have been craving for other objects and enjoyment of pleasures also. Now we're still craving, we do experience our craving for the pleasures, which is the proof what? Therefore, the Paramanandata, the nature of the self being happiness, still is not known to us. Therefore, this half knowledge has to become total knowledge. That is what is emphasized in this verse.
Adhyetruvargamadhyastha putradhyayana shabdavat bhanasya pratibandhena yujyate. Adhyetru varga madhyastha putradhyayana shabdavat bhanepya bhanam bhanasya pratibandhena yujyate.
I tell you, Vidyaranya Swami's amazing mind, most brilliant mind. You cannot get the essence of Vedanta better than this. The way he develops the teaching. So first, how he made very clear. Now he says, he gives the example how the self is partially known, the self is partially unknown. Which means there is no total ignorance of the self, but there is no total knowledge of the self also. Why even there is half knowledge of the self, and why half knowledge of the self is partially the self is unknown means the nature of the self is no covered. There is some pratibandha, something obstructing, there's some obstruction from being revealed. Is it? He gives the example for that. Look at this. Why the self is partially known? Why self is partially unknown? Because something is blocking the vision. Something is, you know, obstructing the self from being revealed with total nature, totally revealed to us. Like what? He gives the example. See, adhyetru vargaha. Adhyetru vargaha means, vargaha means a group, the classroom, a group of students. Adhyetru means a student. Adhyetru vargaha means a group of students who learn Veda. Adhyetru vargaha means a group of students of Vedic chanting or Veda Patashala students. Adhyetru vargaha. In that group of Vedic the students, you know, what happens in the class? In the class, there are many students, all of them are chanting the mantras in a chorus. It's a chorus chanting. Some 10, 15 of them are chanting together. Before the father goes to this patashala, and he should not go inside. Okay, he should wait outside and see until the class gets over. There's a respite. No, you can't just go and disturb the class just like that. My son is here. I come to see my son. You can't go there. You know, father goes to see his son because in the Gurukulam he's studying, has to stay outside, and he hears the entire group of students chanting the Veda mantras. But what happens? Putra, and he also sees his son's mouth. No, he also watches his son's movement of the mouth, the lips, which means he also sees his son chanting. He's 100% sure. He is sure. He knows his son also is chanting. His son's voice also is heard in the chorus, as part of the chorus. Okay, but what happened? Even though son's voice is definitely heard as part of the chorus chanting, still he does not, no, still his son's voice is not heard. He hears the son's voice as part of the chorus, but still he does not hear the son's voice. Is it clear now? The voice is heard, but the voice is not heard exclusively, clearly. So he says, adhyetru varga madhyastha putra adhyayana shabdavate. Just as the sons, the chanting noise, the sound, among the students, among all the students in the class, is heard, at the same time it is not heard. Is it clear? Bane api abhanam. Even though the voice is heard, still it is not heard. The son's voice is heard in the chorus, as part of the chorus, but still it is not heard. Why it is not heard? Pratibandena yujyate. Banasya pratibandaha. There is obstruction. There is some obstacle which prevents the son's voice from being heard. What is that which prevents the son's voice from being heard? The chorus, isn't it? This is not prevented. Similarly, there is an obstacle, there's an obstruction which prevents the dad from hearing his son's voice. He heard the son's voice as part of the chorus, but still it is not heard. Similarly here, the self is known to everyone, and the self, at the same time, there's some obstruction, some obstacle which prevents the self from being revealed to us totally. Is it clear? So what is that obstacle? What is that obstruction? Nice example. Isn't it? Very good example. Say yes.
Yes.
So there is an obstacle, isn't it? We see those days only Vedic chanting. You can say now any chorus singing. You go and listen to any medley chorus singing and you see all the voices singing. But you don't listen, can't hear one person singing. It is heard as well as at the same time it is not heard also. Similarly, there is something. There is an obstacle. So, Banasya Pratibandena Yujyate means why it is not revealed totally? Because there is something which obstructing it from being heard. Similarly, something which is obstructing from being known, being revealed. Now he's talking about the what is that obstacle, what is that obstruction, what is that pratibandha which prevents the self from being revealed to us, being known by us, known to us. It is the next verse now. Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Vyavahararha vastuni.
Vyavahararha
vastuni. Tannirasya viruddhasya.
Tannirasya viruddhasya.
Tasyotpadanamuchyate.
Tasyotpadanamuchyate.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Vyavahararka vastuni.
Vyavahararka vastuni.
Tannirasya niviruddhasya.
Tannirasya niviruddhasya.
Tasyotpadanamuchyate.
Tasyotpadanamuchyate.
So here in this verse, the 13th verse presence gives you the definition of pratibandha. He talked about the pratibandha. He said there is some obstruction. There is some blockage, isn't it? Obstruction which prevents the self from being revealed. Like what? Like the son's voice which is heard by the father in the chorus, but still it is not heard. But he, instead of saying what that obstruction is, he started giving you the definition of obstruction. Pratibandha kaha. What do you mean by saying obstacle or obstruction? Pratibandha. Ityukte kim. What is pratibandha? He says, pratibandha asti. Asti iti bhat. Asti bhati iti. Vyavahara arha vastuni. Asti bhati iti vyavahara arha vastuni. See, vyavahara arha vastu means what? The object which is available for transaction in day-to-day life. Any object which is transactable in day-to-day life, transactable object is called what? Vyavahara arha vastu. And the transactable object, what's now? Asti. We say what now? We say it is there. Bhati, because it shines. So the object which is, the object which shines, and that object, the transactable object, suppose if it is, it appears to be, if it is not, if you say it is not there, it does not shine. There is an object which is there, which shines. But if you say the object is not there, it does not shine. So that which makes the object, the existent object as though non-existent, that which makes the object appear different is called what? Is said to be the obstruction. The obstruction is that which makes the object look different. How it makes it look different? The existent object is mistaken for non-existent object. The existent object, you know, the revealing object is what? Mistaken for the unrevealed object. So what is that? In spite of the object being there, if the object is not seen, in spite of the object being there, it is not being revealed, what is that which covers the object? So what is that which covers the object is the ajnanam, ignorance. So there's no obstruction other than ignorance. And that is said in the next verse. We'll redo this 13th and 4th again. But let's read the 14th again. We'll come back to that.
Tasya hetu samana biharaha.
Tasya
hetu samana biharaha. Putradhvanishrutau. Ihanadira vidyaiva.
Ihanadira vidyaiva.
Okay. He says, Tasya Hetuhu. So there he says, Samana Abhiharaha. Samana Abhiharaha means what? Simultaneous chanting. Simultaneous expression of many voices together. Abhiharaha, abhiharaha means chanting, expressing, no, making noise. So samana abhiharaha means what now? Simultaneous expression of many voices together was the cause for the obstruction. That alone obstructed putra dhvani shrutau. So, putra dhvani shrutau, in listening to one's own son's voice, in the class of various students, the simultaneous chanting of many voices, expression of many voices, became an obstruction in listening to one's own son's voice. Isn't it? Samana abhiharaha. So the samana abhiharaha, simultaneously when all the boys chanted together, the togetherness of the voices or simultaneous expression of all the voices together became an obstruction, obstructed the voice from being heard. It's obstructed his son's voice from being heard. In the same way here, in knowing one's own self, nature being happiness, what is the obstruction? What is that which obstructs one from obstructs the nature of the self being happiness, you know, being revealed? The nature of the self being happiness is obstructed. What is it that prevents that nature of the self from being known? He says, Iha. Anadihi avidya eva. He says only one thing. Anadihi avidya eva vyamoha eka nibandhanam. The only blockage, the only thing which obstructs the nature of the self from being revealed to us is Iha anadihi avidya eva. This beginningless. He used the adjective also. Anadihi means the beginningless avidya. Don't translate avidya into ignorance. Okay? Please keep the word avidya as avidya. we can use the word ignorance, but still I wanted to use this word avidya as avidya, time being. It is the avidya and which has no beginning. It is beginningless avidya alone is the cause of obstruction. It alone prevents us from what? From being the self, nature self being revealed to us. Thereby, not only this ignorance here, vyamoha means vyamoha literally means delusion, but here you can take it as what? The ignorance which is the cause of delusion. What is delusion? Mistaking one for the other due to the lack of discriminative knowledge is called vyamoha, not simple moha. Moha, amoha, vyamoha. Okay, completely you can unmanageably, this is delusion, isn't it? The vyamoha means delusion, total utter delusion is called vyamoha. What's delusion here? One being mistaken for the other is vyamoha. And the vyamoha is caused by what? Avidya, ignorance. Therefore, vyamoha is a word used to mean avidya, ignorance only. Therefore, there's nothing prevents the happiness. The happiness, nothing takes happiness away. Happiness is always there. Fullness is always there. Limitless is always there. As what? When there is a fire, where can the heat go? If we say the reality is always there, why? That's the very nature. Timelessness is the very nature of reality. So reality as consciousness is always there. And that reality being reality, it is of the nature of timelessness. Therefore, it is always there. And the reality is always there. What is its nature? The pervasiveness also must be always there. The fire alone is there always. The heat goes and comes, we can say. No, the heat cannot go and come. If the fire is eternal, heat also must be eternal. So here consciousness is eternal, fullness, happiness also is eternal. So it's always there. It doesn't come and doesn't go. Therefore, how is it then not revealed to us? What is that which prevents us from having the vision of the reality? Or what is that which prevents the nature of the reality, the fullness being revealed to us? What which obstructs here? Nothing else other than anadihi avidya. It is the ignorance, it is the avidya. And suddenly we'll ask the question, ignorance, when did it begin? Why did it come? We will ask all these questions. That is why he wants to shut our mouths. He says anadihi. We should always ask this question. Why did this ignorance come? Where did it come from? We'll ask this question. So he immediately says what? Never ever ask this question. Anadihi avidya. This beginningless ignorance. Okay. Avidya. I don't mean avidya is going to something different, okay? Just use that as a translated word, I'm using it. This anadihi avidya is there. Avidya is there beginninglessly. It is this avidya which really prevents the nature of the reality from being revealed to us. So we cannot do anything about it, okay? We are here. Well, the nature of the reality has to be revealed to us. The cause of obstruction is, he says, there samana abhiharaha prevents the sun's voice from being heard. And here, avidya, anadi avidya is an obstruction, is what prevents us from, prevents the nature, the happiness, anandaha, being nature of the reality, from being revealed to us. Now he wants to unfold what is that. So now very clear now. Therefore, what has been made clear? So happiness, fullness, need not be attained. Why need not be attained, cannot be attained? Because it's already there as the very nature of the reality. Therefore, what is now, what is it? Only the avidya is covering, avidya is covering the fullness. Like samana abhihara covers the sun's voice, here avidya covers the fullness, happiness. Therefore, avidya is covering the fullness. Removal of avidya, elimination of avidya is what? Elimination of the, removal of the cover. And the removal of the cover is called what? Discovery. Therefore, happiness is to be discovered by removing the avidya cover. So, if here itself he made very clear, happiness cannot be, need not be attained. Therefore, you need not, effort must be only to know, not to attain. Now, so how to, now next question comes, how to resolve the avidya? How to remove the avidya? Removal of avidya, removal of avidya, dispelling of avidya is what? Discovery of happiness. Discovery, removal of, dispelling of avidya is discovery of happiness, discovery of fullness, discovery of the reality in it, not as it's with its nature of happiness. So how to dispel avidya? Next question goes, how to dispel avidya? Thereby how this happiness can be discovered. The thing is, dispelling of avidya is equal to discovery of the reality and the, and its nature being happiness. So to discover, dispel the avidya also, you cannot undo avidya. You cannot destroy the ignorance. Why you cannot destroy the ignorance? It must be really there to destroy it, isn't it? It has to be resolved. Avidya cannot be destroyed. Avidya has to be resolved. So resolution of ignorance is what? Understanding what avidya is. Know what this ignorance is. What this ignorance is. What this avidya is, which obstructs the nature of the reality, the nature of the self from being revealed. I cannot attain the self because I am myself the happiness. Still, the nature of the reality being happiness is not revealed to me. And what obstructs this from being revealed is the avidya. If avidya has to be revealed, means what this avidya is. Like how when you see the, when you're shivering in fear, seeing the snake, and you say what? You want to get rid of the fear. You want to get rid of the discomfort caused by the fear. Therefore, you want to, you think what? This is the, your perception of snake is the cause of your shivering. So what do you say? You want to destroy the snake. And before destroying it, you need to know, what is this snake, which, what is snake is, which causes the fear in me? Like here also, what now? What is this ignorance which obstructs my own nature from being revealed to me? What is this avidya which obstructs, which prevents me from taking the ownership of my own nature by obstructing the nature from being revealed to me? What this avidya is. So understand what avidya is. understanding what avidya is resolving the avidya. Resolving the avidya is what? Dispelling the avidya. Dispelling of the avidya is what? Discovery of happiness. அறியாமையை அறிதலே அறிவை அறிதல். Discover, first of all, now you know what now? To discover the truth, you first of all, you know what this avidya is, what this ignorance is, where does it exist, what is its locus. If it is beginningless, where is it there? Where is this ignorance? What is this avidya? We don't look at avidya as something, a state of mind here, okay? We just look at avidya. This ignorance, what is this avidya? In knowing what avidya is, avidya will be resolved for good. In resolving the avidya, you would have arrived at the truth. So, which we will see in the next class. And definition of Pratibandha, I'll teach you next class. Today I didn't take that word Pratibandha. What is Pratibandha? I will define again clearly next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.